1 o'clock hour of the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick hanging out with you. Ian Safar behind the glass. Every Thursday at 1 o'clock, we catch up with Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. He joined us yesterday, had a lot of nuggets in there, including about Philip Forsberg and what could be next for him and the Nashville Predators. The moves have already begun. What did you make of Kevin Fiala being traded from the Wild to the LA Kings yesterday and then subsequently signing a 7-year contract extension?
I wasn't surprised to see him traded. There were rumblings especially in the days before that maybe it was going to happen, and then yesterday morning I got some notes from people saying get on it. And obviously I think the Kings were, I don't know exactly when the window opened for permission, but they obviously knew what it would take to sign Fiala before they made the trade. And that's exactly what they were looking for. Like, they lost the first round to Edmonton. They lost, for one thing, because of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who can just score goals in bunches because they're great players. And they just didn't have anything like that. Not that really anyone does, but they just didn't have a natural goal scorer. And the moment that series ended, a few of us looked at each other and say, they're going to go try to find the best scorer they can get. And, that's the guy they targeted. That's the guy they got. And he's a perfect fit for what they need to do. And they also had a player in Brock Faber who I think really appealed to Minnesota. He's from there. He's a captain of one of the college teams there. And I think everybody suspects that's where Faber wanted to be.
Are you a little surprised that, because with Fiala being a restricted free agent, they theoretically could have waited, seen what happened with Forsberg, because I thought they might be in on Forsberg if he went to market,
Yeah. Maybe
Gaudreau. So are you surprised that they went ahead and pulled the trigger, or do you think they could still be in on somebody else?
I think they could still be in on somebody else. They have a lot of cap room right now. I still think they're going to look at some other situations, but I think the thing about a guy like Forsberg is all of a sudden, that it does look, I think if a guy like Forsberg ever says, I'd like to come to LA, they'd look at it. How could you not? It's Philip Forsberg. It does make it a little trickier. But now I think if you're Forsberg, you probably look at it a little bit and say, okay, how would this all work if I was to go there? Or, maybe he still feels that way anyway. I still am hopeful that the Philip Forsberg situation is going to work out. Fiala's a left shot. Forsberg's a right shot. I can understand all the speculation. I still think it's going to work out in Nashville between Forsberg and the Predators. It's certainly been much more of a grind than I think a lot of us anticipated. But I will say this, guys, that a couple of teams seem to think it's going to work out there. So we'll see where it goes.
Do you think that Nashville was in on Fiala at all in a possible reuniting with him?
I'd never heard it. That doesn't mean it's true, not true, but I never heard it.
Do you think, though, that, Elliot, that is maybe a way, let's just say you're right, that the Forsberg thing ends up working out and the Predators are sitting there going, okay, now how do we take the next step? How do we close the gap between ourselves and the Avalanche, the premier team in the league? The RFA route, where maybe you trade a first-round pick and a prospect to get one of these other RFAs that are in kind of a salary crunch with their current team, is that maybe the template?
I think that I definitely think that Nashville, like, first of all, you've got to get the Forsberg thing sorted out one way or the other. And I do think if it gets done, my guess is it comes in around 8-5. That's a guess for me right now. If it gets done, it comes in around 8-5. Then I think you have to then you can look around and say, okay, now what else can we do? And you guys have cap room. That'll eat into it, obviously, but you'll still have some, and then that's where you can squeeze, yes. And I think David Poile would do that. But the bottom line is you got to sort out Forsberg first.
Now, with that being said, Elliot, if indeed, say they don't get the Forsberg deal done as soon as free agency starts, and possibly he could be looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, I want to go around and shop a little bit, see, you know, get my ego pumped up a little bit, see how many teams out there really want me and what they're willing to pay. But ultimately, I'm seeing what David Poile is going to do in regards to free agency. Is he going to try to go out and make this team a win a championship team now? Because Phillip's not getting any younger. And I'm sure he's looking at it from what place gives me the best opportunity to win a championship. Okay, I don't sign with the Predators on the first 2 days of free agency. Well, what is David Poile out there doing in those 2 days? Is he trying to add to this team? So when I do decide I want to sign back, now we have a team that can truly compete for a Stanley Cup, not compete to win and make it to the playoffs because we've done that, but truly compete for a Stanley Cup.
Well, I think that the thing is, Derek, and you know because you were a player, once a player goes into free agency, then the GM's got to say, sorry, we'd love to have you. Unless you know, unless you have a handshake deal that says we're coming back, and even then it can be dicey, then you can just, then it's, David Poile's going to go out and he can say, look, like, Philip, we'd love to have you, but I got to fill out my team. Like, the one thing I know is this. Nobody wants to take a step backward. Nobody wants to take a step backward. So the Nashville Predators were a playoff team this year. Now, it didn't end well because Saros unfortunately got hurt. But the thing is, like, nobody's looking at this and saying, well, you know what, last year we made the playoffs, so next year it's okay if we don't make the playoffs. Not a chance. Your fans don't want that. Your organization doesn't want that. Nobody wants that. So I think what Forsberg is looking at and what Poile is looking at is, how do we make ourselves better? How do we, you know, take that step? And if you've heard Poile talk, and I know you guys have, he has said, like, last year was not the year to spend. This is the year we're going to do some things. So, you know, nobody can promise a winner. Nobody can promise a champion. But the one thing I really do think, guys, is that the Predators are saying, okay, our team was a little better than we thought this year. We're going to try to take a step. Like, there's no way to me that anybody's sitting here and saying, it's okay if we go backwards. Like, sometimes, like before last year, I think you could have said, okay, we don't know what this is and we got to see what we got. Well, now you've seen what you got. Nobody wants to go backwards.
Now, how many suitors you think will be looking for Philip Forsberg's services? Because, listen, as a player, before free agency starts, it's like, okay, it seems like there are, like, every team in the league wants you. But then when free agency actually starts, it's only two or three teams that really want your services. So how many teams do you think are hoping that Philip does get to free agency?
I think that if he makes it to free agency, there will be a lot of suitors. I mean, he's a 40-goal scorer. You know, if you guys just watch the Stanley Cup final, you know, Colorado could score. By the end, with all their injuries, Tampa couldn't. And that was the difference. And if you can add a 40-goal scorer to your roster, you're going to look at it. Now, I think the advantage that Nashville have is that 8 year. And, you know, if it's eight, let's just say for argument's sake, it's 8 times 8.5, that's, you know, that's $68 million in a no-tax state like Tennessee. Like, that's a big advantage for the Predators. And so somebody's going to have to find a way to equal that or beat that or come close enough to that. And that's going to be hard for some of these teams to do. Like, if you look at what's going on around there in this league, there's not a lot of teams that have the cap room to do that without performing some surgery. So I think Nashville does have an advantage there. I think also Nashville has the advantage that I think in his heart of hearts, Forsberg wants to be there. We're just going through that grind. But I do think if he gets to free agency as a 40-goal scorer, there's going to be a ton of interest.
I don't think there's any question about that. Elliot Friedman is with us from 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. And So, Elliot, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You feel like some other teams have said maybe there's been some progress on the Forsberg talks, that maybe some potential suitors are kind of thinking, well, at the end of the day, where do you come up with 8.5? We saw the Frank Saravelli podcast earlier where he was saying, hey, he's not asking for the moon here. He's not asking for more than Roman Josi. 8.5 has made sense to a lot of us for a long time. So it sounds like you've had some recent info that's kind of suggesting that.
Well, I this is the time of the year where I attempt to earn my salary, and other people can judge whether I do or don't. But, you know, I've called around, I've made calls, and I ask people, like, what do you think? That's one of the ways I was able to just slightly be ahead of the Fiala move yesterday, because people were telling me, like, be on it, be on it, be on it. And it was Kings. And, you know, I just asked around. I say, you know, what do you guys think of the big free agents? Forsberg is obviously one of them. And, you know, I just say, what do you guys think? And I think there are some negotiations, you know, when you're getting, when, like, there's a deadline now. And so it's time to get serious. And you can tell in a lot of cases, not every case, but in a lot of cases, when there's been movement towards something or you're still nowhere. And the general feel around the league is that there's been movement. Like, I heard David Poile say, we're talking long-term for Forsberg. That's what we want. I don't think that's a problem. I think 8 years, I think everybody kind of gets that that's probably where it's going to go here. I think everybody's known for a while now where the number was going to have to be for Nashville's comfort and for Forsberg's comfort. And, you know, I maybe 8.5 is a little bit on the low end, but, you know, I just asked some people for their guesses, and that's kind of where they think it's around. Now, it might not be exactly right, but some of these teams seem to feel that there has been some momentum, and I think when you get that close, you assume it's going to happen. They could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I'm under the assumption right now from the people I'm talking to who are more connected than I am, that they think there's a path to a contract. Now, you got to close it. Yeah, it's like late night at the bar. Can you close the deal? And now these two guys have to close the deal.
Okay, we can all relate to that. But, Elliot, we have varying degrees of success, I think, sometimes going back through the years. But, Elliot, what are you hearing in similar comparison with Johnny Gaudreau? Do the Flames have a pathway to keeping him, or where are they with that?
Well, I think there's some similarities in the sense that the Flames, I think, have made him a big offer. I think it's going to be hard for him to find that money elsewhere unless someone really throws a ton at him. The difference is between Forsberg and Gaudreau is that in Nashville, that's home for Forsberg. Like, we've talked about this. He was drafted by Washington, but for all emphasis, he's a Predator. His wife's from the area. Like, there's a lot about Nashville that's home for Forsberg. I think in Gaudreau's case, even though I think he does like Calgary a lot, he's an East Coast guy, and his family's from the East Coast, and I think that's the challenge that Calgary has. I don't think this is Johnny Gaudreau doesn't want to be in Calgary. I think it comes down to, does he want to be closer to home? And right now, I think he's making that decision. And I'm sure that the Flames will probably hope they know well in advance of the 13th, and we'll see. But at this point in time, from what I can tell, he hasn't made a decision.
Does Gaudreau end up, do you consider him a slight tier higher than Forsberg in terms of his value? In other words, if they both re-sign, will Gaudreau end up getting a little more than Forsberg?
I would think so. I simply think that, I mean, both these players had phenomenal years, right? Gaudreau had like 95 points in 5-on-5, which was the highest number in a long time. I think that total probably pushes him a little bit higher, I think the tax setup is more beneficial to you guys too. That's a big issue up here in Canada. I would say his number would be high, assuming both players sign with their current teams. I think Goudreau's number is higher. I think if you go to the market, and then it could be a little bit different just simply because I think teams know they're going to have to pay to equal what these players could get in their current market. So that kind of screws it up a bit. But if they stay in their current markets, I think Goudreau's number is higher.
Well, Elliot, it's going to be...
I think Goudreau comes in around 9, 9.5 if he stays in Calgary.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, always on top of things. And I have a feeling we'll have even more to talk about when he joins us next Thursday at 1. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds face the Indianapolis Indians, the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates, at First Horizon Park. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back into the DDC. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick with you, and Elliot Friedman dropping a lot of stuff there, and so much has happened since then, too. In the last few days or so, Willie, but, we're seeing coaching movement now. We've seen some players get new contracts, but you presented an article, by Dom Lashusen and Shana Goldman from The Athletic talking about some of the restricted free agents. And, we've said this time and time again that don't believe that David Poile is, going to go the offer sheet route. We talked with Robbie about that this morning of could be more of the trade route with some of these RFAs. But with so many good RFAs out there, it is going to be interesting when free agency opens.
Yes. So let's pair it together with a couple things we learned from Elliot. Elliot seems very optimistic that there's movement, that the general consensus around the league is that Forsberg will end up back with the Predators. There's too many reasons why it should happen, which we've felt like that's the case all along. We've just all been puzzled that it's taken this long. But when you consider the tax situation, the eighth year, the situation the Predators are in, the fit with Forsberg, you contrast that with his information he gave us on Johnny Gaudreau, who's going to be more expensive. It's in Calgary, where the tax situation is much, much different. And he might have more of his heartstrings back in the Northeast, in New Jersey or Philadelphia, where he's from. That might be a much more difficult thing for the Flames to pull off. But all that to say, the unrestricted free agent market is always tricky, because you got, generally speaking, older players who are going to be really expensive. Nazem Kadri, for example, is 31, and the rumor is he's gonna get 5, 6, 7 years, $7, 8, 9 million a year. That's really expensive.
Yeah.
Even though he's a great player. So let's get to Dom's article. He looks at guys who might be ripe for an offer sheet. Now, restricted free agents are in a situation where they tend to be younger. They're in the prime of their career. They're on the verge of making the big contract. And some of them are playing for teams that may not have the ability to match an offer sheet because of where they are in the salary cap. That's why I think this is a really interesting area to look at. There might be a little bit less risk in players like this because they're younger. You're getting the best years of their career.
Yeah.
You just got to be willing to pay them a little bit more.
And there's compensation, so, that, if you end up signing somebody to an offer sheet and the team decides not to match it, the team that's losing the player, I mean, for some of these contracts, they're going to get 2 first-round picks. If they go over 10.5, they get 4 first-round picks.
Right. Okay, so let's look at the chart, because there's two things to think about here. There's actually signing the guy to the offer sheet, which I don't think is ideal. I don't think David Poile would like to do that. But is it the template for a trade to where you take a look at the equivalency and say, all right, maybe I don't want to do this move on the offer sheet. Although last year, Carolina signed away on an offer sheet a player from the Montreal Canadiens, right? Jesperi Kotkaniemi. So an offer sheet of $8.4 to $10 million, or $10.5 million, is a two firsts, a second, and a third.
Oof.
Anything above that is four first-round picks, $10.5 million or more. You go down to an offer between 6.3 and 8.4, it's a first, a second, and a third. Anything from 4.2 to 6.3 is a first and a third. So you start doing the math in your head. What are these players worth? And that's where Dom's article is really beneficial, because he really makes the case. And of course, this is just his opinion. But he makes the case that guys like the players we're about to talk about are well worth the compensation. So let's just take Matthew Tkachuk, cream of the crop. All right.
Oh, yeah.
His family loves it here, right? Keith Tkachuk played for St. Louis for a long time. He loves this area. So you could see Matthew Tkachuk saying, if Johnny Gaudreau is, you know, a guy that's tied to the Northeast, you could see a scenario where Matthew Tkachuk would say, okay, I'm open-minded to playing somewhere else besides Calgary. So let's just entertain that thought. If you gave him an offer sheet, and in this article, Dom has an offer sheet of $11 million plus. Now, on the surface, you're like, oh, my God, Matthew Tkachuk, he's a great player. He's 24, but $11 million, that puts him up there with close to Leon Draisaitl kind of money. Is he that good? Now, he makes the case with his numbers that he is, that over the length of a contract, that Matthew Tkachuk would be worth that money and the four first-round picks that would go with it. That's a steep sticker shock. So what do you think of that, Chase? You get Matthew Tkachuk. Ooh. The compensation is four first-round picks.
I would rather acquire him via a trade and then work the contract out. I mean, he's going to command that kind of money, and you have to know that going in.
Yep. And of course, the risk of an offer sheet is the Flames just match it and you've done all that work for nothing. So that's right. Why a trade is probably the more practical way to go about it.
I mean, in a perfect world, you would acquire Matthew Tkachuk and have Forsberg too, but then you're not really getting anything else, because you're going to have so much money tied up in both of those guys and then the contracts that you already have. But, you know, if Forsberg were to leave, then I think David Poile would be forced to try and do something like that, to go and get a player the caliber of Tkachuk. I mean, he's a great player, and I love how in this article it kind of gives you the expected value of, you know, basically that player is worth a certain number of wins per season, which I think is kind of cool.
Right.
Kind of a cool
stat.
That's
eye-opening to me, because on the surface, when you say, okay, it's going to cost you four first-round picks and you're paying him $11 million, I'm like, man, could that be worth it? His numbers would say yes. You'd have to try to figure that out, because I'm envisioning this, finding a player like this in addition to keeping Forsberg, doing that under your current cap and then still trying to address the defense position. That's a bit of a tall order, right? It doesn't leave you much budget and much flexibility, really, unless you're clearing out cap space in some other area. But it's just an intriguing exercise to go through. Now, he's by no means the only restricted free agent on this list that's worth talking about.
No.
I thought about this. Here's the next question for you, Chase, and I asked this to Robbie. Are you willing to shop? Let's just put together a couple of things that you have thrown out there and that I've thrown out there. Let's say you put out a package and said, I'm willing to shop the first round pick and either Luke Kunin or maybe even Elie Tolvanen, plus maybe another pick in there. What could that get me?
Right.
We just saw Kevin Fiala was had for a first-round pick and a college prospect, and they got Kevin Fiala out of that. So to me, what could you get for Luke Kunin in a first?
I think that's
Luke Kunin a first and a fourth or something like that.
And I think that's interesting, because, I mean, nothing against Matthew Olivier, but you got a fourth-round pick for him.
Right.
So, I mean, that's – the value right now for players is interesting. And so I would think that even, you know, a Luke Kunin or Elie Tolvanen in a first would, I don't know if it gets you Matthew Tkachuk.
Well, it definitely doesn't get you Matthew Tkachuk, but I'm saying could you make a deal for somebody on this list to where you might feel like you've made a pretty good advancement? Just for example, he's thrown out these these names on this list. I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois is a really interesting one, but he's got two more years of restricted free agency. But he is a restricted free agent. They've got to come to a deal to keep him around even for that. So that's one worth throwing out there. Andrew Mangiapane is a guy that just had a career year for the Flames. Jesper Bratt.
Yeah, I was looking at him. He's interesting.
Very good player. I don't think the jersey's under any kind of cap crunch, though. So they want to keep him around for sure. Brock Besser is another interesting one. Is he good enough to where you'd want to take a leap of faith in him? There seems to be – Dom certainly has his reservations on him.
Capo Kako is on there.
Capo Kako is a really interesting one because he was scratched late in the playoffs against Tampa, but he's a former, second overall pick?
Yeah.
Who's still really young and could blossom into a star, but he hasn't quite done it yet. Jason Robertson is a restricted free agent for Dallas. Now, most people think that they will move mountains before they lose him. There's no way that he's changing teams.
10.5 million for 5 years is what Dom has him at.
So I'm just looking at different scenarios on how you could upgrade your top six with some of the things you have to work with and work with teams that are looking to relieve themselves of some cap space. They're up against it. They can't breathe. Las Vegas has some interesting guys under that scenario as well. So I just think if you're David Poile, you've hung on to some assets over time. You're willing to wheel and deal. What could be out there? We're just throwing different possibilities out there as food for thought.
Yeah. And I think these are interesting names too. We'll continue the discussion and also take your calls at 615-737-1025. Your texts as well as you listen to the DDC. But Willie, you have a word about QC Kinetics.
QC Kinetics wants to keep the active people active. Look, there's a new thing out there for those of you that have maybe come across some joint pain. Injuries are piling up, and you're not really excited about some of the traditional methods, whether it be surgery, steroids, or pain meds. You know, there's issues with all of those things, and you may not have considered what's out there with QC Kinetics. So you owe it to yourself to check this out. Check out these new ways of regenerative medicine. They can restore and repair damaged joint tissue. They use these natural biologics. No drugs, no downtime, no surgery. So if that's music to your ears and you want to check this out, maybe you've got a back or a knee that's keeping you from doing the things you love to do. Try QC Kinetics and get the professionals on this for you. It's a free consultation. They can address any pain in any joint and give you the quality of life that you deserve. QC Kinetics, phone call away. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Back here on the DDC. Thank you, Mookie. 1025-1063, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you. As Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at Spring Hill AC.com. Talking free agency and restricted free agents and the Preds. 615-737-1025. Scott wants to weigh in on Forsberg in a no move. Scott, welcome in.
Hey, I know it was reported elsewhere on this station, I guess they credited to a leak from Forsberg agent, but that he was willing to take, you know, less than nine, you know, for the 8 years, but wanted a no movement. And I think you pretty much have to give him a no movement if he's going to give like a hometown discount, because, you know, you're locking him in basically for the rest of his career. And you're saying, well, hey, this is a no income tax state, and, you know, you're getting to stay home where you want. You know, if he gets traded, if the next season goes to crap and they trade him next year, now he's locked into a contract for the rest of his career, and he may be in Canada or California or some high tax place and he's screwed, basically. So, I mean, if he's willing to take less money than the analytics say he's worth, then, he, you know, we have to come off this no movement stuff.
Okay, Scott, appreciate the call. To that point, Willie, I mean, I think if it's 825 or 85, like Elliot was saying, I mean, that's kind of right in the ballpark of what I think he is worth. So, I mean, you know, open market, he would make more just because I think teams will overpay at times. And some might argue that 8.5 is overpaying, but I think it's right where he's supposed to be. But to Scott's point, I mean, I think there's going to be some sort of trade protection. I don't know if it's going to be exactly what Yossi got or if it's going to be modified or what have you. But I don't see this just being a straight-up deal that doesn't have any kind of trade protection attached to it.
I am in full agreement. I think we have discussed this a lot on our show, that Philip Forsberg has observed Ryan Ellis and Victor Arvidsson accept long-term deals, probably at pretty good value for the team. For example, UC Saros. I think UC Saros just last summer signed a deal that was very, very beneficial to the team.
Big time.
I think you get a franchise goalie at a very reasonable price. Take a look at what the market is going to be when it happens next week, when Darcy Kemper, Jack Campbell, and Ville Husso, let's just name those three, see what they get on the open market. I think you're going to get a lot of money. And you're sitting there for the Predators saying, I got UC Saros for 4 years at $5 million per year. That is a steal. But Philip Forsberg, I think, wants to say, okay, if I'm going to give you any kind of team-friendly deal like that, and yes, I'm acknowledging that I want to live in Nashville and there's a lot of advantages tax-wise. We had so much fun this week looking at Money Geek.
Yeah.
And what $8 million in Nashville means as opposed to $8 million in LA or New York or Philadelphia. It is real, real money that you save, that you keep by staying in Nashville. But I'm with Scott. With that discussion, it's got to be tied to some no trade protection. And I think Philip Forsberg is well worth some no trade protection.
Yeah.
On some level, if not the full no trade clause, at least some kind of compromise. And we've certainly heard nothing from either side that's come out publicly saying that they still differ on that. So it just leads me to believe that they've crossed that bridge. They've discussed that backwards and forwards. They just got to get down to the dollars.
Right. And that's what, you know, is Darren Dreger has reported that there's still a gap there. You know, Elliot,
yeah, he said what, less than $1 million.
Yeah. Which I mean,
it just depends on how you view that. Is that a lot or is that a little? You could argue one or the other, but you couple that with Elliot's thought is that eventually it will get done and it's going to get into that near 8.5. If you could save, I think Darren predicted 8.25.
Yeah.
And I've felt all along like that's a really good offer. 8.25 is fair. It's not too big, not too little. And I think when you say, what is 8.25? That's $66 million guaranteed, which means that is the equivalent of a $9.5 million offer on the free market, 7 times 9.5. Now, I'm hard pressed to see him getting more than 9.5.
No.
I could be wrong, but that's 66.5, and 8 times 8.25 is 66. And then you couple in Money Geek, right? I think that's, yep, a fair offer. That the team, it doesn't blow you away on the salary cap, and it's a fair offer to Philip Forsberg.
Yeah, I think so too. And ultimately, I feel like that you know, Darren is pretty good at nailing that. You know, I mean, he's gotten right around it a couple times. I think even with Duchesne, he was close to it. Didn't he say like 7.75 or something like that? So he's off just a little bit. But I feel if it comes in 8 years, 8.25, some sort of trade protection, then I think you're happy with that. And to Robbie's point earlier, I agree. If they can get this done before the draft next Thursday night, that would be ideal, because then you can go into the draft knowing that you have your biggest thing on your checklist done, and you can focus on, all right, what are the moves that I'm wanting to make if I'm David Poile? So I do feel like we're getting into crunch time. And even though you have until, you know, like 10 o'clock on July 12th before free agency opens on the 13th to get it done, I still think that David Poile and his group are trying to get it done before the draft.
Yeah, I think that would make it a lot easier to go in with a plan to attack what you want to do on draft day, especially if you are willing to shop around the first pick that you have. What are the Predators pick? 19th, 17th. 17th. By some people's accounts. And look, only time will tell 5 to 10 years down the road from now. But next year's draft looks deeper, stronger than this year's draft in the first round. So maybe this is a year. You had 2 first-round picks last year. Remember, you wheeled and dealed. You took one of those Arvidsson picks, and you took 2 players in the first round last year. Maybe this is a year you could part with the first-round pick if it meant immediate help to your roster.
Yeah, and I would totally do it. For sure. All right, we'll come back. We'll put a bow on this Friday edition, go into the 4th feeling good and ready to relax for 3 days as you listen to the DDC, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Back here on the DDC, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick hanging out with you on this Friday. Willie, can I rant for a second about something? And I think you're going to agree with me on this. But I'm watching.
By all means.
I am watching MLB Network, Red Sox and Cubs at Wrigley. And the Cubs are wearing these god-awful dark blue Wrigleyville uniforms. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we wearing these? These are, I mean, not we, but like, why are they wearing these? These are awful.
I agree with you, first and foremost. There are. I forget what they're called exactly, a city vibe or something like that. There's a promotional thing that the teams are doing, City Connect or something. You wear these uniforms, and it's sort of in the light of, you know, the Predators with the blue jerseys for the Winter Classic, or Stadium Series game, the Smashville on the jersey.
Right.
In general, I'm not as big a fan to do that. It's a special occasion thing, but a lot of baseball teams are doing that. Like,
well, the NBA, the NBA started it.
Oh man, they go crazy with it, right? And the NBA uniforms, that's a whole nother discussion. There's too many. I'm not a fan. It's like some teams are having like 8 or 9 different jerseys that they're wearing during the season.
Yeah.
It gets very confusing. But the Brewers, for example, had uniforms that said Brew Crew the other day. The Cubs have Wrigleyville, right? Is that what's on those uniforms?
The Red Sox did the – now, this was cool. You know, the Red Sox did the Boston Marathon uniform.
Marathon one. Yeah, they've done that for a couple years now. Completely different color scheme, which is wacky.
The Rockies have one that's like looks like a pack of menthols. Like
there's some teams that haven't done it yet. I think the Mets are doing it next year. I think started last year. The Giants do one that I think is I don't know.
Miami has.
But
a
generally
red one.
Speaking, I like more. Yeah, Miami has one that's kind of like a Cuban thing, Cuban colors. Generally speaking, I think it works best. If it works off of your current scheme, color scheme, that's what I liked about the Predators one. Even though it said Smashville, I had mixed thoughts about that, but I liked that they didn't deviate from the color scheme and they worked off of that. And so I thought that was cool. But for baseball, most of the time I kind of go thumbs down on the City Connect or whatever they have. Have the Braves done one yet?
No,
I don't think they have they?
No, they haven't. Yeah, and I don't. I'm with you on the Giants. Like the white, it's just weird looking.
They have a white with a sort of a lighter shade of orange that they do. It's only the 2 colors. They don't have any black in there.
No, I'm not a fan.
Because the Giants have awesome. I really like the Giants uniforms. Their straight up uniforms are really, really good uniforms.
Yeah, yeah, and for baseball, I mean, I'm all about simplicity. And, like, you know, the Braves, obviously I am biased because I'm a Braves fan, but they have one of the best uniforms in sports, especially the white one. It's just, it's clean. It's got the red piping, the Braves across the chest.
You good, solid uniform.
Good, solid uniform. I like the red one. I like the blue road jersey that they have with the red numbers.
I even like when they mix in the throwback and go with the old Hank Aaron.
Yeah, now those are cool.
The 70s ones. Yeah, that's those not a bad little change of pace. So this is a, I guess, a short-term thing that Major League Baseball is encouraging teams to do. It's all under the same umbrella, is it's going to sell some extra merchandise.
Yeah.
So where you can say the team wore these a couple of times.
How do we make more money?
I saw one, you know, the Angels wore one the other night. It was the night, I think Mike Trout had a big game, but they have blue numbers. I just didn't think they were that great. They wore them in a Sunday night game against the Mets. I just think more often than not, I'm kind of like, meh.
Yeah. I just, when you get away from the color scheme, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But the NBA is the one that has been notorious.
Good grief, they've just gone off the charts with some of that stuff.
So let's play this game as we put a bow on this week. And I've enjoyed being back. It's been fun hanging out with you. Do you believe when we come back on Tuesday, the Predators will have made a significant move? And Forsberg is obviously in that category.
It all starts with that. I think if they're not done by Tuesday, the draft is Thursday?
Yep.
Boy. I'm gonna ask for an extension of one day. And I feel like if the Forsberg thing isn't done by Wednesday, then I think it's really crunch time at that point. I think you're really good. I think they will make some efforts this weekend to try to close that gap and get it done. You'd really like by the time Wednesday rolls around that it's done. As far as other moves, I think I would be surprised if I saw anything major other than Forsberg signs, doesn't sign. I think that's the thing to look for. Would you be surprised? Like I think
yeah.
Anything that would happen during the draft or maybe even in the hours leading up to the draft, that always is something to watch for. I think, for example, the Seth Jones thing went down. There were a number of deals that went down the day of the draft in preparation for the draft.
Right.
So I think that's an interesting window, that 24-hour window from like Wednesday evening until the draft starts Thursday evening. Is a big, big window of a lot of wheeling and dealing. So anything that happens before that, I might be a little bit surprised if there's something big there.
Yeah,
would you?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think Forsberg is the...
That's the big one.
That's the one.
They got to work on it. It's crunch time. Over the weekend, Monday, Tuesday, I don't know if they'll work the 4th of July or whatever, but, I mean, that's got to be a day where you try to close that deal. I'd love to see a press conference Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. It is weird that we're sitting here on July 1st, which traditionally has been the opening of free agency, but because of the last few years, stuff has been, you know, moved back. We haven't even had the draft yet. Usually the draft is, you know, last weekend, essentially,
right.
And then free agency opens today, and then things kind of slow down. But it's weird to kind of have to wait a little bit. But I am moving more and more towards that they get something done with Forsberg. When that is, you know, who knows? It may come down to the wire, but the hope is that they get it done, you know, before the draft, and then David Poile can get to work in his magic. I just saw a tweet, somebody asking who's the next player to get traded in the NHL. I do think there could be, you know, a couple of those moves that happen, you know, between now and coming back on Tuesday. Not necessarily with the Predators, but league-wide.
I would encourage you to look at The Athletic. They've got excellent coverage on that. They've got the RFA list of potential, because I think you can say it doesn't necessarily have to be an offer sheet. It could be these are the guys that you take what an offer sheet is worth, you put together your own package, and you make a trade, kind of like the Kevin Fiala. I would look at players like that. And The Athletic also has a very good article. I think it's Eric. This is another. The Athletic has guys that I don't know how to pronounce their names. Eric Duhachik, I think is his name. He's based out of Calgary.
Sure.
He has an interesting list, and he actually gets help from Joe Retro, I think, is in there. 32 teams. He picked up. He had each writer take a look at the roster and say, who are guys that may not be back? You know, potential guys that could, so either trade or lose to free agency. I think Joe put Nick Cousins on there. I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
That other than Forsberg, who's the swing guy, you know, who could you lose? Nick Cousins is probably the guy that they're going to let walk into free agency. So that will give you good food for thought. And always we recommend Elliot's podcast. He's got a new one today with Jeff Merrick on the 32 Thoughts. I'm sure it'll be floating a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, another one that's interesting too. Michael Russo and Dan Robson have a an article on Russian stars that have returned home and whether they can get back.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole and that's a very long article. I started to read it and I was thinking, this is now spinning my wheels so much, my brain's starting to hurt. But just from the Predators, I think Askarov is staying here, and that's an important one. The last I checked, anyway, he was staying here. But a lot of the Russian players want to go home, and that makes perfect sense, right? Kirill Kaprizov is going home. And with visa issues and things like that, and obviously the war, a lot of people are wondering how easy would it be for guys to go and come back. I don't know what Yakov Trenin is doing, for example, for the Predators. That's another guy that I think, last I checked, he's got to get a new contract, too. He's restricted.
He is a restricted free agent.
Yeah. So that's a guy that I know they want back. So I don't know where Yakov is right now.
Yep, that's something to definitely pay attention to. But that is going to do it for us. Great stuff, Willie. Good luck in Birmingham. We'll see you back here.
Yeah, we need it. We're playing a St. Louis team here in about an hour. So wish those boys luck, and we'll see you back in the studio on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Coming up next, Adam Vingan, Caroline Fenton, in the studio as they'll talk more about the Big Ten's move and what it could mean moving forward for college sports. That's coming up next on Stillman and Company on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.